Good to see everybody here today. We always seem to have a bigger crowd at this time of year. Sometimes we have visitors, and their first thing they'll wonder is, where are all the Christmas decorations and everything? And I guess the answer to that is that while certainly on a private level, we certainly enjoy Christmas probably more than we should, don't we? But as far as the first day of the week, we don't have any commands to do that, and so we don't per se introduce that into the worship, and yet at the same time, we're very much aware of the fact that Christmas is a great time of year. I think many of us feel that way, and Luke 2:10, when Christ's birth was announced, it was announced this way: I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I think one of the reasons I like this time of year is because maybe for one of the infrequent times during the year, people just on a general basis start thinking about Christ a little bit more and about the fact that not only was he born, but that he lived a life that gives us an opportunity to live forever. And so it is good news of great joy. And so we do celebrate that. Not everybody celebrates it the same way. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 talks about the fact that one man regards one day as holy and another man regards all days the same, but that each does so to the Lord. And so however we feel about these things, we do it to the Lord. And so I really enjoy this time of year. It's always been a great time of wonderful joy for our family. Our family has always gotten together at this time of year and enjoyed the blessings that stem from that. I know a lot of our families are together this year as well. And here, we have lots of little kiddos here today. I like to see that. That's certainly an encouragement. But anyway, I hope you have a very beautiful Christmas season, and I hope that the world maybe can come to start thinking a little bit more seriously about Christ as a result of that and get back to where they need to be. In just a few weeks, we're going to start a new year. And when we do that, as far as my preaching schedule goes next year, I really want to concentrate on getting back to the Bible. To do that, I'm going to use certain materials that we have for that, but I want to encourage you to get back to the Bible however you prefer to do that. I'm going to suggest for those who would like to that we start off with the 30-day challenge. It's just a challenge to read through the New Testament in 30 days. It gives you an overview of the New Testament like maybe you've never had before. And then after that, I'd encourage you to go into a 90-day study of the New Testament. And just three chapters a day studying whatever topics that you believe are pertinent to your life or that you would like to find out more about during those 90 days will allow you maybe to come into an understanding of certain topics that you've wondered about, that you have questions about, that you maybe question in general. But we'll do that for the next 3 months. And then after that, we're going to go into an Old Testament challenge. There's four times as much Old Testament as there is New. And so four 30-day Old Testament challenges to read through. And then after that, an Old Testament study. We'll be doing that, like I say, from the sermons that are given, hopefully not in a way that becomes a bore where we're always continually pounding on doing something by a certain program. Certainly if you've done this before and have a different method you'd like to use, or if you just have a different method you'd like to use, that's certainly nothing magic about this method, but the reading and the studying of the Word is something that I would encourage each one to do and not ever stop that particular practice. It will accrue to your benefit. Obviously, if you hear my voice and it sounds a little bit croaky, it's because my voice is a little bit croaky. I've had a cold. It seems like I get one about every 2 years, and this year I got it right at the time where we have a Christmas meal for our seniors, and so I wasn't able to go and do that. But Dave went and took my spot and gave the message and did a very good job from all that I've heard. I appreciate him doing that and certainly appreciate everybody that took care and honored our seniors as is fitting to do. And so appreciate that as well. Last week, I introduced the topic of a second chance. And I want to talk about that again this morning. We've had a number within our congregation alone just in the last year who have had something really serious and a little bit frightening happen to their health. We've had two of our elders who have had heart surgery, big, major heart surgery. We've had three of our ladies go through a surgery for cancer. We've had some of our family that have gone through the same thing. Just in the last few weeks, we've had a couple that have had heart procedures that have got their heart in a little bit better situation. As a matter of fact, one of them was told if she hadn't come in when she did, that it's very likely she'd have had a major heart attack. Just very, very shortly, her arteries were clogged that bad. And so yet, all those went well. We've certainly lost loved ones this year, but faithful. And it's hard when you lose somebody who is faithful to mourn too much when you know that's what they lived for, was to go home, and their real existence began. The second chance that I want to talk about is something, though, that's much more than just a second chance at a few more years in life. The second chance I want to talk about that we're offered at any time we want to take it is a second chance to serve God. There's a passage that's found in Nehemiah, the third chapter. If you want to turn over there, it's not a big passage, but it does say something that I think maybe is good for us to take into consideration. In Nehemiah, this occurred after Judah was destroyed. Jerusalem was razed to the ground. The temple was torn down and burned. The gold was taken from it. The entire town was destroyed. And now they're coming back. They're rebuilding the building, and they're rebuilding the wall as well. And as they're rebuilding the wall, we come to verse 5 of chapter 3 in Nehemiah. It's talking about all the different ones who are taking part or who are invited to take part in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. It says, next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. This, I believe, is one of the greatest problems that we have in life, is this attitude of not stooping to serve the Lord. It's not even something I think that we necessarily give that much thought to as far as, well, I'm not going to stoop that low. I think it's something much more akin to the idea of, I'm busy. I got physical things to do. I got a job, a real job. I've got a house, a real house. I got a family, a real family who needs to be fed real food. I got stuff to do. And you want me to do this for God? And I think that we get to that point, even not even processing it that way, but more processing it, I'm busy. I got things that I need to do. Now, I tell you this, when we talk about the second chance and when we talk about our lives here on earth, you're going to have physical things to do all your life. God has given you that to do. As a matter of fact, he had the Apostle Paul pen these words, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Not if a man cannot work. We've all seen situations where a man cannot work. You talk to Galen about that, 6 months, and I think he would have loved to have gone to work every day, but his back surgery wouldn't let him. I imagine he was drooling for work. There are times we cannot work. That's different. Physically, if a man will not work, he shouldn't eat. That's how serious God put that. But if your spiritual work is not of greater importance than your physical work, you've got your perspective and your priorities completely out of whack. And your life, may I say, will not work. I don't mean that it might not work if you put physical before spiritual. I mean that it will not work if you put physical before spiritual. Because God is spirit. He intended and allowed us to be a spiritual people. And the moment that we forget that we're a spiritual people and we become more physically minded than spiritually minded, we go into Satan's trap. And I believe if we're not careful, we go into Satan's realm and under his control. And so as we talk about a second chance, we really are talking about getting our perspective right again, getting our minds right again. One of the reasons that I encourage people so much to read the Word of God is because it's not important what I think. It's not important what your parents think or what a pastor or a preacher or a priest thinks. It's going to save you. It's important what God has said about that, to where you can find out whether you need to be listening to parents or somebody who calls himself a priest or a pastor or a preacher. It's important what God says. And when we talk about a second chance, we're talking about a second chance to get back in touch with God's way and to serve God in His way so that we can get rid of this attitude, whether it's thoughtful or not, of not stooping to serve the Lord because we got physical things to do that are important. And so that's what we want to look at. Romans 3:23 is where we started last week. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace that comes through the redemption that, by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All have sinned, but we all have the free chance of God's grace. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I like that because we're not going to earn our salvation. You will never be good enough to come back to God, ever, on your own. I like that because then I don't have to think, well, I'm just not good enough. But when I get good enough, boy, then I'm going to come to God. Oh, you have that opportunity by the grace that God has extended, and He extends it to Christ. You've been redeemed by His blood. We have that chance. Romans 6:20, when you were slaves to sin, think about this. And we all struggle with sin from time to time. So it may be that some here are slaves to sin right now. It may be some of us are struggling with sin right now. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? These things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, this idea, all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So on your own, if you're going to earn your way, you've already lost your chance. You're gone. You're done. You're going to hell if that is your decision, that you're going to earn your salvation. On the other hand, you and I will not stoop to serve God and take advantage of the grace He extended and take advantage of the redemption that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are doomed. We are lost for all eternity. Grace is your ticket to work. Did you know that? Grace has been so misunderstood and mistaught. And I think it's because instead of going to the Scriptures, we go to the teachings of men. As far as what grace is, grace is your second chance. It's your second chance to stoop to serve the Lord. Did you know that the entire New Testament is filled talking about Christians who are servants of God? Servants. Not people who have been put on a spiritual welfare because God extended His grace and because God or Jesus redeemed them with His blood. If it was just grace and the blood of Christ, everybody would be saved, including Satan. Is that not true? Grace is your opportunity to serve God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 maybe puts it in a way that we can understand. Therefore, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, understand what faith is. If you really want to do a study this week, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read about the champions of faith. And notice why they were champions of faith. It's because they did something. They believed in God, but their belief caused them to do something that proved their faith. Faith is belief in action, is it not? Sometimes we just want to make faith belief or an acknowledgement. Yeah, I believe Jesus, Son of God. I believe in God. Good. James said the demons believe that. They shudder. Why do they shudder? Because they're lost. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is a big deal, isn't it? Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace by which we now stand. Did you know that grace has to be accessed? Grace is universally offered. Grace is offered to 100% of the people who have existed on this planet. It's been offered. As long as we draw breath, we get to take the offer of grace. But it's access through faith. That's why it's so important for us to understand. By the way, let me read that again. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you go through Christ? We read over and over within Scripture that we're baptized into Christ. That's how you go through Christ. Your faith will cause you to do something. You're justified through faith. We have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, how do you get into Christ so you can go through Him? Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I had an opportunity to... I don't even know if that's the right word. We'll use the word opportunity. I had the opportunity to go in and coach all of the elementary school classes in PE this last week in basketball. And I can remember when I got to the older kids, the fifth and the sixth graders, we started doing something that was difficult. And you could tell they were getting real frustrated. So I stopped and I said, just think about this for a moment. If you don't do hard things, you'll never get better. You want to do easy, then just stand like this and dribble the basketball. But you'll never get good. You'll be able to do this. Hard is your friend when it comes to something that's worthwhile. As we talk about our service to God, it is hard. It won't be worthwhile without hard service. Nothing in life that requires, that is worthwhile, is going to be, we're not going to access it without some kind of effort on our part. And if it's important to us, then it's going to have to be important, thoughtful effort, great effort. When we talk about being spiritual people, it is not a part of our existence. It's our existence. The physical life that we have here on earth for a brief time is part of our spiritual existence. But our spiritual existence is not part of our physical existence. It is spiritual first. But as we talk about that, think about that again. If you don't like hard, you're not going to get good at anything. Now, I don't even know that like is the right word. There are things that I do that I don't like that I know will make me better. I don't particularly like to take vitamins, but because I don't particularly like to eat lots of vegetables on a regular basis, I take vitamins. But I do it, and it's good for me. You will do things in life such as study math that you may not like to do, study English that you may not like to do, get up and go to work that you may not like to do, that will further benefit you in what you want to accomplish in life. Let's go through that again and talk about this. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given us. We talked about that in Guy's class this morning. We receive the Holy Spirit just like forgiveness of sins at baptism. Do we not? He poured it out on us. In verse 6, you see at just the right time. When we were still powerless, in other words, when you and I were sinners, which means that we couldn't be saved on our own. At just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. You're doomed to hell. But Christ died for you. And now you have a second chance. What do you do with that second chance? Will you take it? He goes on to say this: since now we've been justified by His blood, don't deserve it, but you have the right, justified, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more now, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We were dead in our sins, but Christ died for us. Before you and I get too high and mighty, if that's a proper term, when we think about the sin of other people, think about the fact that you and I deserved death, that you and I deserved hell, that you and I were lost. You know, if God had wanted to just trap you into sin and into death, the first time you sinned, He could have just snuffed your life out. He could have done it probably thousands of times since then, but He didn't. He gave you a second chance, and then a third chance, and then a thousandth chance. He very much wants you to be with Him forever. Question is, will you take that chance? I'm going to close with two passages that talk about that very thing. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, this is about 25 years before the fall of Jerusalem. This is about 25 years before Judah loses their last chance as far as a physical kingdom. And this is what God says, has Jeremiah say: the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. I've often thought that that's one of the saddest passages in the Bible. How would you like God to apply that verse to you at your funeral? The summer is past. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. There'd be nothing worse, no less worthless of a life to have lived than to have that as your epitaph by God. But God gives us a second chance. You may be there right now. We've all been there at one point, have we not? What will we do? Will we take the second chance? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2 is where we'll close. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. This idea that grace cannot be received in vain should be forever dispelled by that. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of My favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. The whole world, or at least a good part of the world right now, is celebrating the birth of the One who would come into this world, whether this is the right time of year or not, that He was born. Many are thinking about the fact that He was born, and we're glad for that. They're thinking maybe for the first time in a long time, and maybe that will cause them to reflect upon their life. And maybe they'll do something about it. But if they're going to do something about it next year, New Year's resolutions, next month when this big project is over with, next year when they graduate, when they get married, when life's going to begin, it's probably not going to happen. The fact is, if you and I, when we realize that we need the second chance, don't take it then, we may not get another chance. The question is, when God's Word says, now is the time of His favor and now is the day of salvation, do we believe it and will we accept it? If you're a Christian and you need a second chance, well, you just repent of what you're doing. Ask God for forgiveness. If you want the prayers of the congregation, we would be honored to pray on your behalf. But you can do that by yourself. If you're not a Christian yet and you're old enough to be a Christian and you know it's time, you know what you need to do, then will you take that second chance and have your sins washed away and be raised to walk a newness of life? The second chance is offered. Will you take it? The invitation is yours. Won't you come while we stand and sing?